Women are often confronted with sexism and misogyny in their professional lives and struggle with how to respond. Recently, I was invited to be a panelist at an event for young women entrepreneurs about how sponsorship can accelerate their professional development. The panel featured four other experts from a variety of domains. One of the male panelists who specialized in developing startup companies was asked to share his experience hiring women. He asserted that most women lack the drive to take on challenging positions. He said he normally reviewed at least 1,000 resumes to find three suitable women candidates for any role. Then he capped off his comments by saying that women are highly motivated when they want expensive handbags, condominiums, and rich husbands. It's hard to believe, but that's what he said. Let's unpack what's behind this issue and some empowering approaches to finding your voice. Find a full transcript and other resources for women leaders at livingwhileleading.com/42. You're listening to Living While Leading with your host, Sharon Ehrlich, where I help women IT executives gain more control over their careers and carve out time to care for themselves and family. So going back to the event, it was organized by women for young female entrepreneurs. There were lots of millennials and Gen Z in attendance. The energy was electric. If I could use one word to describe the mood of the event, I would say optimistic. I don't know about you, but I've grown accustomed to participating in activities remotely and only join in-person events when I expect them to deliver high value. I think the attendees had the same expectation. And this meeting delivered on its promise until the controversial bomb hit. As you could imagine, I couldn't let this incendiary comment go unchallenged. I called out this statement for what it was, misogynistic, and added that if he believed that gold digging was the main motivator for women, it was no wonder he couldn't find any candidates. His perspective was clearly colored by this perverse point of view. I asked him if he ever considered how systemic problems, like the lack of adequate childcare solutions, made it nearly impossible for some women to take on challenging roles. From where I was sitting on the panel, I had a clear view of the first few rows of women in the audience. From the looks on their faces, they seemed outraged. Neighbors whispered, and some women used protective body language, like crossing their arms over their chest. I expected an audible outcry from the audience, or at a minimum, some booing to signal their rejection of his insulting remark. But there was complete silence. The first question that came to my mind was, why are these women so quiet? After I challenged the panelists, my response was met with cheers and head nods from the audience. During the break, at least a dozen women thanked me for speaking up. These after-the-fact reactions confirmed a wholesale rejection of his remark. So why wasn't anyone able to vocalize this when the incident took place? Women don't understand the power they have. I'm not talking about the power to control others. I'm referring to personal power, the power you have to excel at what you do and make an impact. But all too often, even when you reach the executive level, you second-guess your ability to speak up. Women have been conditioned from a young age not to rock the boat or to offend, but to play nice and be polite. Society labels women that speak out as troublemakers and masculine. If she's in an executive or leadership position, the labels can be brutal and downright vulgar. This has a direct impact on the calculus you make every time you decide to speak up. You start weighing the consequences of your comments. Will you hurt someone's feelings or face an uncomfortable confrontation? Will you unwittingly damage your reputation? I understand your hesitation. And think about how your male counterparts communicate. They take pride in spewing out the unvarnished truth, whether it's an exaggeration, fact-based, or not. I'm not suggesting you adopt a male approach to communicating. Just don't hesitate to reply. Otherwise, your opportunity to make an impact might be lost. As a woman executive, you understand all too well the corrosive impact of sexism and misogyny in the workplace. When this behavior is tolerated, it affects organizational climate and employee well-being. Left unchecked, it leads to decreased productivity, employee turnover, formal complaints, and even legal action. When you make the decision to confront sexism and misogyny, in order to be heard, remove emotion from your response. An emotional response runs the risk of you being labeled as unhinged or crazy. It will also give anyone who feels threatened by your reaction license to completely disqualify your statements, no matter how valid they may be. When you experience or witness misogynistic or sexist statements, stop them in their tracks. Your silence will be interpreted as agreement or make you complicit in perpetuating unacceptable behavior. It's hard to live in your integrity if you don't speak up. Exercising grace allows the offender to clarify their position. Ask the speaker to illuminate their statement and allow them the time they need to reflect and restate their comments from a place of more consciousness. Raise your courage, stand in your power, and use your voice. Remember, you're the solution to claiming what's important to you. If you're experiencing challenges with speaking up, why don't you contact me and book a 90-minute Own the Room strategy session so that I can help you find your voice. You can find me at livingwhileleading.com/work-with-Sharon. Thanks for listening today. This is your time. Give yourself permission to reclaim what's important to you and be who you want to be. If you're getting value from this podcast, please subscribe, share it, or write a review. And connect with me on livingwhileleading.com or on LinkedIn. And don't forget to tune in next week.